Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of Why We Love This Band on Renegade Jukebox. This is where we discuss bands we both love and are formative to our music tastes, and can discuss things like times we saw them live, memories of their music, and just how much we enjoy these albums by these bands. And Mike, introduce our band that we have wanted to do an episode on for a long ass time.
Oh, yeah. So we are finally talking about the Belgian death metal band Aborted. I've been wanting to talk about this band for a while, but just haven't really had the platform. And now here we have it. So I'm going to get the kind of standard why we love these bands questions out of the way. Nick, what was the first time you heard of this band?
So I first heard of them kind of through a mix of word of mouth and Wikipedia. I saw their name come up on Wikipedia around the time Global Flatline came out. I always tend to have a page of this year in heavy metal, so that way I can keep track of like new releases and everything and just copy them into a Word document if I want to listen to the album. Global Flatline, I believe, came out the same week as Resolution by Lamb of God. So that was on my list at the time, but for whatever reason, I didn't get to that album. But when I saw Soilwork in 2013, I got a flyer for a show that didn't even happen. It was for a tour with Hypocrisy, Chrissian, Arsis, I believe, and Aborted were supposed to open that show, actually, but for visa reasons, I think with Hypocrisy specifically, they weren't allowed into North America, so the tour got axed. But I actually really got into them around the time Necrotic Manifesto came out. I think it was because Alyssa from Arch Enemy posted, you know, what she was jamming, like the around the time that it got announced she was going to be singing for Arch Enemy, and she posted Shadows of the Dying Sun by Insomnium and Necrotic Manifesto. And when I finally got into them, I just loved how aggressive they were, and just balancing the intensity with carcass type melodies in the riffs, the lyrics being about gore and a lot of classic horror movies. That was really up my alley. And we'll get into this a bit later, but their merch is abso-fucking-lutely top-notch.
Nice. So I got in, well, I first discovered Aborted during, I think I mentioned this in other podcasts before, summer of 2007 is when I kind of got obsessed with Pandora and started making like radio stations for all different genres of hard rock and heavy metal. And Aborted was one of the first like brutal death metal bands that I really started to get into. Although it wasn't really until Retrogore that I got back into them and started really paying attention to each of their new album cycles. The first album I ever listened to, again, this was on Pandora, was Gormageddon. That was just my first real exposure to the band. And that, like, we'll get more into the album later, but just having that be your first exposure is just a really good first impression.
I'm going to have to bite my tongue saying anything about that record, but yeah, I hear where you're coming from. So we're just going to bring this up right at the top, just because we're not going to go through each lineup change, because I feel like that would get insanely redundant fast, and we'd feel like Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny with that chart and trying to keep track of everything. Unless it's noteworthy, guys, like I'm not going to pay attention to members from 10 plus years ago. The main focus really at the end of the day is their frontman, Sven de Callaway. He is the consistent member of this band. He's the only remaining original member of this band. And Ken Bedeni, he is like the only most consistent member, and he only ended up joining in about 2010. So it just kind of feels like, again, to avoid redundancy, we're not going to keep track of each individual lineup change and just talk about how good these records really are, because I feel like Sven really is the mastermind behind what makes this band as good as they are. He kind of is just like, I'm going to pick out somebody to join my band, but they better be a fucking fan of my band to begin with.
Yeah. I have in my notes as like just one of the reasons why I love this band. It's Sven. Sven is the creative genius behind all of this. Even when the albums aren't like the best, he still puts a lot of love and care into the music.
And he is one hilarious dude. Like, I hate to jump ahead to current times, just given that Vault of Horrors only just came out about a week ago at the time of us recording this. But literally his the Instagram post that Nuclear Blast made with him, he was just like, oh, hello, this is Ben from Aborted. Today is March 15th, and you still look like a pile of shit. Why have you not pre-ordered our album, Vault of Horrors, yet? And I was like, I love this dude. He's awesome. And I guess to just get this out of the way too, because I feel like this has been a discussion going on kind of in the world of metal for a while. I am getting this out of the way, and I don't mean to use this style as kind of a derogatory kind of way, but Aborted are not a goddamn deathcore band, guys.
I'm not sure where people got that idea from. Is it because, again, not to fast forward too far to the present, but is it because a lot of the features on Vault of Horrors are from the deathcore scene?
Well, here's kind of my thing too. I will throw you a bone and say that could very well be the case, but let's just kind of have it tie into their first record. Let's go back to 1999, really, kind of when deathcore really got started, before, you know, everybody had an account on whatever website to just bitch about metal on the internet. So my thing is that originally death metal and hardcore were already getting blended together. I mean, you already had a band like Suffocation writing a song like Leash of Inveracity. You already had bands that were already combining death metal and hardcore to begin with. You had Through the Eyes of the Dead, you had Animosity, All Shall Perish. You already had these bands that were taking death metal, hardcore, and grindcore and just putting them together. And, well, breakdowns were already going to be a byproduct of that. I really feel like saying Aborted or a deathcore band are because they play breakdowns, I feel like that's saying Pantera should be a metalcore band because they played breakdowns. It's that fucking stupid.
Yeah, I hear you're saying. It's like, yeah, they have breakdowns in their songs, but there's more to deathcore than just breakdowns.
Oh, exactly. And the thing with Aborted too is that the lyrics mainly have to deal with gore. I don't really hear that in a lot of deathcore bands. Yeah, the songs might be about killing people, but it's not about the gore in the killing, you know?
Right.
And really, if you do think about it, metal and hardcore has already kind of got its own kind of cross-pollination thing going on. I just say it's a fucking stupid argument for people to just say, how do we write a Wikipedia article? And that's not the job of this podcast. So I feel like it's just a waste of time to even discuss.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So with that in mind, that was just me kind of beating around the bush talking about Purity of Perversion, because I'm going to be honest, guys, I don't really have that much to say about this album.
Me neither. Like, this album is basically just, it's the foundation.
100%. It's not even that it's a bad album. It does lay the groundwork for what comes later, but I can't help but feel like, one, it's held back by its budget. Two, it just feels like the songwriting just isn't there yet. It definitely wears its influences of Carcass and Slam death metal on its sleeve. And that's really all I got to say. I really feel like jumping ahead to Engineering the Dead because I have more to say about it.
We can go right ahead and do that.
The only thing I will throw out there, I do wish that it did exist at least on CD formats. I know Sven mentioned in an interview a few years ago about re-recording some songs off of Purity of Perversion, but you know, I just wish we could have access to it. I don't blame somebody if they think Engineering the Dead is the first one, because that's, I pulled up the Spotify page and that's the first album that you see like right at the bottom.
Yep. That is their, according to Spotify, if that's all you go to listen to this band, yeah, you'd be forgiven if you thought this was their first.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's a rights issue. Because like it, I think Listenable Records, Century Media, or currently Nuclear Blast would be able to pick up the rights to it.
That's a good question.
But nonetheless, I will say that Engineering the Dead really does feel like a fully realized version of Purity to me. It's, I think it's a really great album. Tons of groove, tons of slammy heavy parts, but the blast beats and aggression do not let up. I, again, don't blame people if this is their starting place, but at the same time, it's more than just a high budget demo. I mean, the songs just do not let up, like from Holocaust Incarnate, Roast and Grind. Some of these titles get pretty out there, especially one I wish I got the shirt of, which was Nailed Through Her Cunt. That and the Cradle of Filth shirt would get me arrested if I wore those in public. But yeah, like those are just a actually, so my main favorites, Holocaust Incarnate, Nailed Through Her Cunt, Eructations of Carnal Artistry, Skullfuck Crescendo, and Exhuming the Infested. Those are just a few of my favorites off of this thing.
Yeah, the two that you mentioned that are my favorite, the Holocaust Incarnate. I do like the title track, Engineering the Dead, and Eructations of Carnal Artistry.
The main thing I will say to people, it does kind of feel like a Breeding the Spawn by Suffocation situation, where the band has actively re-recorded songs off of this album. So I feel like somebody should just put together a playlist of what's been re-recorded so far. And I wouldn't blame you, because honestly, the re-recordings sound better, especially the Global Flatline ones. Those ones are awesome.
How come the band has never just put out a full re-recording of this record?
One part of me guesses they don't want to have it be a Bonded by Blood by Exodus situation, where it's just like, why would you just go back and re-record the same album years later with better it's like, who the fuck cares, guys? Sometimes it's, you know, just to have it have better production, and plus in some cases the re-recording is better. My big hot take, I prefer the re-recording of Bonded by Blood by Exodus, and another thrash example, the re-recordings that Max Cavalera just did last year of Morbid Visions and Bestial Devastation. Those are great too.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with any of that.
With all of that in mind, though, as good as Engineering the Dead is, it is not nearly as good as our next album. Mike, I'll let you have the floor with how amazing Gormageddon is.
Yeah, Gormageddon, The Saw, and The Carnage Done. I would probably call this, at least in like the first half of their catalog, this album is like quintessential Aborted.
It's a death metal classic to me. I don't really have that amazing of notes, just because, again, the album itself is just that good. Go listen to it. I don't know if they were onto a certain sound, but I really wish they took what works so well from this album in particular and kind of just built on it throughout the rest of the 2000s, because this thing just holds up so well all of these years later. The way I described it before we started recording is, you got to remember, at the time, Carcass were broken up. So a band sounding like this, but basically being Carcass on steroids, kind of amazing when you get down to it. I mean, I can't really say best song for me on it, because I just put all of them. But just to drop a sample in there, guys, just listen to this and judge for yourself.
Fight the brain young man, declare to all.
I don't have much else to say after that, Mike. You?
Just to prove the point that this band is Carcass on steroids, didn't they even cover a Carcass track on one of the bonus tracks off this album?
Yeah, they covered Carnal Forge, and that is also going to be included on, let me dig it out from the bowels of hell, this awesome reissue that Listenable Records put out last year on red, that's right, red vinyl. Guys, we don't get paid to do this. I buy my records still, but it's like if Listenable, Nuclear Blast, Century Media, Indie Merch ever decide to sponsor us, please sponsor us just so that way we get free stuff.
That would be killer.
I guess with that in mind, I can't really blame the band for possibly trying to mix things up a little bit on the next record, because following up a classic record like Gormageddon was never going to be an easy task.
Oh, no. But I do respect the fact that even though generally the band has somewhat remained stylistically consistent, I like how they will still try to experiment once in a while.
Yeah, and a good example really is 2005's The Archaic Abattoir. It's respectable that they didn't want to just make the same album over again. It's still very much aborted, still very gore-soaked, still really aggressive, but it's just not nearly the gore-soaked necroticism worship of the last album for me. It's very groove-heavy, almost in a lot of places. It almost feels like melodic death metal. And when I say melodic death metal, I don't mean so much In Flames as much as I mean the haunted melodic death metal.
I was going to say, would Carcass even count like towards the end of their career?
I wouldn't say this album is so much Heartwork or Swan Song. For me, again, I feel like the haunted feels more apt just because it's still around the time of like Made Me Do It. It's still around the time of like those mid 2000s melodic death metal albums. I don't want to say it goes to like Soil Work degrees, which, fun fact, the reason the drumming is so good on Gormageddon is because Dirk from Soil Work and Megadeth played on that album. So little fun metal trivia for you and your friends. But nice. Some of the notes that I have, like they're to kind of go in the Carcassy direction, the Intertia has a really cool Heartwork era section, breaks up the rhythm heavy part in it. But for me, the main song I really want to highlight, it's one I always still come back to, is Dead Reckoning, just because the American Psycho sample, it is amazing.
I was actually about to bring up Dead Reckoning too. And I don't think we've really even talked that much enough about how often the band puts horror samples in, maybe not all their tracks, but like enough of them that it's notable.
Oh, absolutely. Like Nailed Through Her Cunt, it uses the Hellbound Hellraiser 2 sample of Your Suffering Will Be Legendary Even in Hell. Like they sample pretty much every Hellraiser movie almost on every album, let's just be honest. But the use of American Psycho here, the part where Christian Bale's confessing to his attorney about how many people he's killed, anything that includes a sample of Christian Bale admitting to killing Jared Leto is only a good thing in my world, especially because Jared Leto's a douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it just makes the song more menacing, even. And having Michael from Nemec on the song, which, welcome back, Nemec. We are so happy you reunited.
I know.
Like, it just makes the song that much more energetic and aggressive. Other tracks that I think are great on here, I Just Hit the Gym to Threading on Vermilion Deception. That's a really good song. The Gangrenous Epitaph, I don't really want to say chorus E section, but you know, it's the closest thing we're going to get to a chorus probably on this album, with Bo from Ill Disposed on it. That'll get you chanting along to it, even if it does kind of borderline on Sketch Central. And Blood Fixing the Bled, that also is a really good tune. I again, don't have as much to say about this record in particular. I appreciate that they did want to mix up the formula a little bit, but still sound like themselves. But it just isn't as good as Gormageddon for me.
And that's okay, because Gormageddon just is, it is one of those albums that's hard to top. And I kind of had the same sort of spotlight tracks that you mentioned. I would even throw in Hecatomb too.
Which the main thing that we also want to mention is we're not going to cover a lot of the EPs, just because let's just be honest. Most of the songs on a lot of the early EPs, like, they just end up getting re-recorded or put as bonus tracks on the other albums. So the Hamatobic EP, we're not going to include anything off of, but the Entombed covers are always going to be a good time from Aborted. So if your main takeaway is to listen to more Entombed and more Aborted, we're going to leave that takeaway as a positive.
Yeah. I think the only EP that's, well, maybe two EPs that are of note are maybe Bathos and the one that came out in 2020.
A Grand Masquerade.
Yeah.
I've got notes about those, so I got you covered, man. But yeah, most of these just end up on later records anyways. I guess with that in mind, the next two albums are going to be when the band finally signs to Century Media, which Slaughter and Apparatus, A Methodical Overture. I'll get this out of the way. Having Jeff from Carcass on your album and having David Haley from Psychroptic as the drummer on the album, definitely some really good selling points. But this is just kind of Aborted, I'm going to say, boning it in, period. I say that as respectfully as possible, but I mean, even Sven kind of has admitted that he's not a big fan of this kind of period of the band.
And I don't really blame him. It is just a bit unfortunate that your first two records on a major label are kind of like, I don't want to say they're the weakest, but they are just a very noticeable dip in quality.
My main thing that I take away from this record is that the songs themselves on this one, at least, are still good, but it's not even as good as Archaic Abattoir. Like, David Haley's drumming is phenomenal on this thing. It does make it particularly worth listening to. It's, if I were to compare it to any other band, it'd be Stabbing the Drama by Soilwork. Again, at least keeping it somewhat in the family with Dirk, that being his first record with Soilwork, him previously being in Aborted. It's a technical marvel to listen to, but for me, the guitars just aren't nearly as chunky as they were on the last three. Like, even the more groove direction on Archaic, it's still better on that record, I say.
Yeah. Now, of these two, Slaughter and Apparatus, and how would you even pronounce the next one?
It's Strychnine.
Strychnine?
We'll get to it in a minute, but because I feel like there's a lot to unpack with that record. But do you have any favorite tracks you want to bring up?
I think the two I would probably pick are, the opening track is really good, The Chondrin Enigma, and Ingenuity and Genocide.
Ingenuity and Genocide, yeah, I've got that one noted. Odious Emanation, that, just because you have Jeff Walker from Carcass on your song, that had to have been the biggest honor for the band to even have Carcass, who just reunited, having Jeff Walker be on your record, that's got to be the biggest deal on the fucking planet.
Oh, of course.
Evinius, I probably mispronounced that horribly. That has a really nice mellow death part. The chorus part is really great on that song. And Carnage basked in its ebullience. Again, I probably mispronounced that word horribly. This is what you get for quoting medical dictionaries in your song titles. We're going to mispronounce them horribly. And the cover of Surprise You're Dead by Faith No More. That's a really great cover.
Oh, yeah.
When I watched Gremlins 2 for the first time back in December this year, I had to include that in my Instagram story. I was like, let's mix it up and not just have the Faith No More version. Put the aborted version in there.
Now, of these first two Century Media records, I would much rather listen to Slaughter and Apparatus than Strychnine.
Yeah, Strychnine 0.213. I don't think it's an awful record. I don't want to sell people on it like it's an abomination. But like even Sven, he's not a fan of this record. He has even gone on record in interviews to say he's not really a fan of this record. It feels like it's trying to be a grindier mellow death record, kind of like it's taking Slaughter and Apparatus and mixing it with Archaic Abattoir, but it just doesn't work it nearly as well as either of those for me.
Yeah, I can't even come up with a reason for why this album is, again, not bad, just compared to the rest of their discography, it just kind of falls flat.
Yeah. One thing I will even notice just kind of listening to it in hindsight is that even Sven's vocals kind of feel like he's just phoning it in. And I feel like in one interview, he said that the band was about to go on, I believe, the Summer Slaughter tour, which would have been with Cataclysm, Black Dahlia Murder, Whitechapel, and Cryptopsy, and a bunch of other bands I can't think of off the top of my head. Apparently Century Media really wanted them to have a record out in time for that. And I kind of can't help but feel like a big cop out on Century Media's part, because Slaughter and Apparatus would have only been like, what, a year old? Whitechapel's first record would have been barely a year old too. So it's like, it feels like a bullshit excuse to just be like, crank out another record, guys. And then secondly, it's like, just if the passion's just not really there anymore, I can't really blame the guy for not being a huge fan of this record. I guess maybe my biggest compliment is Dan Wilding, who would go on to join Carcass eventually. His drumming on the album still really good.
I think that's probably the one consistent positive across all their records. Like, I don't think Aborted has ever had a bad drummer.
No, not at all for a second. I don't think anybody in this band has ever slacked for their time period in the band. But, you know, just for whatever reason, Strychnine, it just wasn't the album the band needed to put out at the time. And I feel like if you were to kind of skip any record in their catalog, I wouldn't blame you if you just hopped over to the next one after this. Any best songs you might have? Because even I only came up with like four.
I don't even have that many.
Wow.
I like their Pantera cover.
Yeah, the Slaughtered cover is awesome. Like the guitar tone is somehow even chunkier. Pestiferous Subterfuge is good. I do like Murmur and Decrepit Wits and Interment of an Idol. Those are good tunes, but again, I feel like if the band decided to ever go back and re-record them, I feel like they'd somehow benefit from better vocals, guitars, and no disrespect to Dan Wilding, but better drumming even.
So is this the shortest gap between records between Slaughter and Apparatus and Strychnine?
Basically, yeah, again, because Century Media wanted an album out in time for Summer Slaughter, so that explains why there's such a quick turnaround between records. And basically, Sven put the band on the back burner. There'd be the odd tour with Carcass here and there. There'd be, I believe there was a tour with Augury that they did, but my main focus would have been, you know, despite Aborted being put on the back burner, it's not like Sven wasn't active in the next 4 years between records. I want to give attention to one band in particular, because Sven's always had side projects going. You can go check out Fetal Blood Eagle. You can go check out Coffin Theater, which is another recent project he's worked on. But the main one I want to bring up is System Divide.
Yeah, I actually just listened to that first System Divide album for the first time earlier today. And yeah, basically what this is, it's a little bit more of a mellow death record. I think at the time, Sven, he was married to Miri Millman from the goth metal band.
That was his wife.
Distorted.
For me, I just couldn't help but go, there was so much more potential for more great music with this project. Like, it's definitely the catchiest thing that Sven has ever put his name on, but it's also at the same time weirdly more aggressive than the last two aborted albums. The songs are super well played, and it feels like a good balance of Soilwork, Fear Factory, Nemec, Chimera, and with Miri's vocals, Epica, for that matter. She sounds great on this thing, and it sounds like a passion project between the two of them. Unfortunately, why didn't we hear more from them? Well, because they had a second record ready to go. They had a single ready to go with album art, but it got shelved because Sven and Mira got divorced in 2014.
Yeah, that'd do it. That would put the kibosh on any sort of plans.
Which, I know that Oracles exists as kind of a, I don't want to say filler, for lack of a better word, but you get what I mean. It acts as kind of a buffer between System Divide not being a thing anymore, but they haven't really done anything since, which sucks because I would have loved to have seen another record from them. In terms of any kind, I'm just pulling up the album on my phone right now as I'm saying this, but in terms of tracks I'd recommend, like Echoes, An Intoxicating Affair, and I'm probably mispronouncing this horribly, but it's Neither, N in a bracket, and then Ether. So those three songs, if you want a good representation of this band, and even the single that was supposed to be on the next System Divide record, Ephemera, top quality mellow death, guys. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was actually going to list the exact same songs that you mentioned.
Same brain, man. Same brain.
Yep.
But with that in mind, I am going to bring up that Aborted did put something out in 2010 as well, which was the Coronary Reconstruction EP, which Sven got Dirk back to play drums specifically on this EP. So, fuck yeah. Nothing much to really say, like I said, because the songs on it, for the most part, end up on the next album. But the cover of Left Hand Path by Entombed is amazing. Like, it, that guitar solo is done so well, and it's so melodic and huge. Like, you wouldn't expect that from a band called Aborted. With that in mind, in 2010, 2011, sometime in that period, they get their next secret weapon in the band, which their now second most consistent member, aside from Sven, Ken Bedeni. He joins on drums, and in 2012, like we said at the top of the episode, Aborted comeback with Global Flatline. And I feel like this is, if I were to say to anybody wanting to get into this band, if you're going to start anywhere, this is the best starting place.
I would agree. And not to get too far ahead, but starting from Global Flatline up until present day, that's probably one of the strongest, tightest runs for any band, death metal or otherwise, that I've like seen and heard in quite a while.
Oh, I'm just gonna cut right to the chase so we can drop another sample in from song one. From as soon as you get past Omega Mortis, the intro, it just starts immediately kicking your ass. And my notes, honestly, before we decided to use that as a sample, is just, yeah, they're back.
Yeah.
Like, I'd seriously be willing to call this a modern death metal classic. Every song just has so much energy and passion behind it. It's incredible. incredibly aggressive. It has what made Aborted great in the past and then continues to just pulverize the listener repeatedly. Sven has more passion in his vocal delivery than he's had in a long time. Ken Ken Bedeni's drumming really drives the songs. The guitar work here is almost technical death metal levels of good in a lot of places on this thing, and they just drive the songs home. I don't feel like we've talked as much about how great the guitar work is, but like they really just make that intensity hit. Like, I, again, it's not deathcore, but it's like as soon as you just feel a groove hit, it punches you right in your jaw.
Yep. I definitely agree with you in terms of the guitar work on this. Like, you guys just listened to how awesome Global Flatline is, but even some of their other songs, like Of Scabs and Boils, From a Tepid Whiff, and even some of the bonus tracks too, this is one of those great kind of comeback records for Aborted. And again, it starts a 10 plus year run of excellence.
It honestly, in hindsight, just makes me go, why haven't Cannibal Corpse taken Aborted out on a tour? I ask that as a legitimate question to Cannibal Corpse and Aborted for not being like, guys, can you take us out on tour, please?
Yeah, how come that has never been like a co-headliner act or something? Is it just because of location?
I don't even know, man. I mean, even Torture came out the same year as Global Flatline. So I don't really have a great answer for that. You'd have to talk to either Sven, Corpse Grinder, or Alex Webster for that.
Either way, it's got to happen eventually.
100%. Any favorite songs you have? Because I feel like I was just going like, how do I narrow this down? Because I just have a list of at least 5 songs.
I kind of already mentioned the ones that are my favorites, but really it's tough because like pretty much the next, like, again, these next couple albums are basically no skips.
For me, I'm going to bring up Origin of Disease with Julian from Benighted, which you're going to be hearing a lot about Benighted. Check them out. They're fucking amazing, too. They're basically a French version of Aborted. Plenty of groove, plenty of intensity, but tons of blast beats and aggression. Another really great one is Vermicular, Obscene, and Obese with Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder on it.
Yes.
Grime, which has my favorite part on the album, which is just that guitar solo and the "I just want to destroy something beautiful. Like that, it was just, I'm like, that is perfect pull-up music for the gym. That's a top tier song. Of Scabs and Boils, like you mentioned, is another really heavy one. The title track, like, the only flaw I can think to mention about this album is Fecal Forgery, including a Human Centipede sample, because fuck those trash ass movies. But like, it's still not even enough to kill a song that good.
Yeah, that's really the only ding I have. But if that's the only negative, then you know this is a classic.
Pretty much. And also, again, the re-recordings of Engineering the Dead songs are on this album. So Eructations of Carnal Artistry, Nailed Through Her Cunt, which even Eructations, I believe, has Julian from Benighted on guest vocals on it. So really, Aborted knocked it out of the park on this record. And trying to even top it for your next one just feels like just an unwinnable contest.
Yeah, so the next one is 2014's The Necrotic Manifesto.
Somehow they did it.
It also helps that one of the guests is Vincent Bennett of the Acacia Strain.
That actually came up as one of my favorites on this thing. I can't really say I can put it above Global Flatline in my ranking of their catalog, at least, but I wouldn't blame somebody if they did say it was their favorite. It really just feels like a continuation of how great Global Flatline is. And just to bring it up as another random fun fact, as useless metal trivia for your friends, this and the last album were produced by Jacob Hansen. Why does that matter? That's Volbeat's producer.
Yeah, when I heard that for the first time, I definitely got happy.
Like, it's kind of unreal that he managed to make this band sound as clean and crisp, but still feel like it has dirt under its nails. Like, that's kind of unreal to me. But yeah, the songs somehow are even more aggressive on this record than before. Again, the production's amazing. Every instrument comes through crisply and every note just hits you like a punch to the throat. But somehow the choruses managed to get even catchier on this thing.
Did you want to talk about the bonus tracks and the covers?
Eventually, more than likely at least, but like, what are some of your favorites just in terms of like original material on this? Because like Extirpation Agenda, that just had me hooked from note one.
I would say that Your Entitlement Means Nothing, which features Vincent Bennett, Chronicles of Detrunction, and Cenobites,
man. That you just read my mind again with that one. The Candyman sample just makes that song fucking eerie as hell, and I love it. And it doesn't feel like it's just a useless sample to have in there either. And I also feel like it's a missed opportunity not having that be featured in the newest Hellraiser movie from 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's another thing I like about Aborted's use of samples. They aren't just doing it just for the sake of it. They incorporate them in a way to create an atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. Another one of my favorites I want to bring up too is Coffin Upon Coffin, which it sounds exactly, just given that Surgical Steel came out the year before, it feels like Carcass Worship, but almost like what they were trying to do with Strychnine, but it's just done so much better here. The song itself on here, Purity of Perversion, is awesome. Of Dead Skin and Decay, which kind of ironic how it samples Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 at the beginning, and they write a song about the same movie 10 years later. I just thought that was a funny note to bring up. The transition from Extirpation Agenda into the title track, the use of the Hellraiser sample in there is phenomenal. Like, just immediately dropping that and then a blast beat, that's just gold standard for me. But since you mentioned it, big shout out to the awesome covers that are on the bonus tracks on here. Suffocation, Converge, Sepultura. I do wish Aborted would just do a covers album.
Same. They've been collecting covers throughout their career that they could have one ready to go, or they can do like their own Garage Inc. and just have a whole album of fresh covers.
I just thought of it. Just have Aborted call it Garage Inc. And
yes.
Then just, you know, maybe have a disc of original covers that they hadn't have done previously, but like, they've got amazing ones in their back catalog that could fill up a second disc. Like, they do a cover of Suffer the Children by Napalm Death, they do a cover of Drowned by Entombed, Left Hand Path, like I mentioned before, the Surprise You're Dead cover, the Slaughtered cover, the cover of that, even Max in a Metal Injection interview said that the Arise cover by Sepultura is phenomenal. And then even the Concubine cover, that I was surprised by.
Yeah, Aborted covering Converge is something I wasn't expecting, but I'm definitely glad I heard it.
And of course, just given that, again, like I said at the top of this, Aborted are not a deathcore band, neither are Suffocation for that matter. The Funeral Inception cover is a match made in heaven or hell, depending on your perspective.
Yep. So one of the other great things about Aborted, not only are they just great, you know, they love horror, it's represented in their merch.
Which I had to show Mike at the top of this episode, and I don't mean to jump ahead at least two or three albums, but my Maniacult shirt has literally everyone from Michael Myers to Leatherface to Chucky to Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, like even eventually on the Bathos EP, you've got Sven on here dressed up as Freddy Krueger.
Which is always fun.
The fact that they just kind of embraced just being fun, I feel like, is the appeal of this band. And so much of the merch around this time period just appealed and stuck out to me. Like, it wasn't that, how do I even describe this? The Suicide Silence merch, I feel like, was just kind of the start of like standout merch, where it was like you had to pay attention to the band. With Aborted, it was like, this just feels like Carcass, but just again on steroids, basically. As somebody I saw in an Aborted hoodie, I was like, I need more Aborted merch in my life. So just over the past few years, like even my bandana that I always wear to the gym, it's a Le Grand Masquerade bandana, basically. It was originally supposed to be a ski mask, but it was like, it can work as a bandana too, apparently. So I just use it exactly as that to sweat in.
Nice.
And, you know, I've got a Terror Vision hoodie. I've got a Mania Cult hoodie. I've got one of Terrifier, which has Art the Clown killing all the members of the band on it, which I wore that to the Nas and Wu-Tang Clan show and got some looks for sure. I've also got one with Art, Jason, Freddy, Michael, and Chucky all looking like Tiny Toons characters. So Aborted just knock it out of the park with their merch. I can't recommend their merch enough. So if you're ever at a show, if you're ever perusing indie merch, pick up some Aborted merch. It seriously is that unreal.
I think I might have to get that Tiny Toons shirt.
Oh, it's wicked. The amount of people who are like, oh my God, what is this? Like, I've even got one for Engineering the Dead, which is just a reskin of the poster for Lucio Fulci's Zombie. So I guess just with that in mind, we wanted to bring up the merch at some point, but I feel like this should perfectly transition to kind of where I really got into Aborted, which was around the time the Termination Redux EP came out. We're not going to focus on that too much, because again, it just, a lot of these songs just wind up on the next record anyway. But anyways, this was kind of a teaser for what would be on the next record, and kind of like Coronary Reconstruction, it felt different when I heard it for the first time. I felt like this band is on to something and I should get excited for this record and pre-order it as soon as I know it's coming out, which that record obviously is Retrogore. And it's tough to describe in a blurb how amazing this record is.
Basically with this record, kind of like what you said, this was the first album cycle that I legitimately got excited, just because, again, I probably heard the song from Termination Redux and thought, oh, okay, so we're cooking here.
Yeah, for me, it was just that the musicianship was just on point like it usually is, but something just hit differently with this record for me. The songs are just super catchy and so memorable. Like, it knows when to drop in a blast beat section, but it also knows when to drop in a groove section when it's appropriate. Sven sounds phenomenal, like he typically does on this thing. The guest features, I don't feel like we've highlighted the guest features as well as we should have, but like on this record in particular, having Travis Ryan from Cattle Decapitation, Dave Davidson from Revocation, Jason from Origin on your album, again, Julian from Benighted makes an appearance on this thing again. It's a seriously unreal record, and I feel like it's their best record.
Yeah, It's kind of hard to disagree with that between this and, well, we'll get to it. But this album kind of feels like the beginning of what would come later in terms of the amount of features on this record.
Well, also, I just feel like this is where Aborted decided to just start being fun. Like, even just including Skeletor in some of the album art, including the power glove, for fuck's sakes. Like, aborted or just having fun on this thing. And I like to have fun listening to music. So you know what? If the band's having fun and making great music in the process, they're on to something in my book.
Yeah.
And the main thing that's going to be my takeaway from this, honestly, is I wish they would have toured my area. Like, I'll mention it at the end of the episode in terms of like tours for them, but like, I still have not seen Aborted live, and that makes me mad.
Me neither. I have to imagine that it's just one of those super fun shows that, you know, if you're a death metal fan, you have to see them at least once.
That list includes Cannibal Corpse, Obituary, and for that matter, Dying Fetus. I guess just with that in mind, they did release the Bathos EP, which showing that to Mike, because really we don't have a way to simulcast this to Spotify, but the Bathos EP, which I also have on red vinyl, that came out a year after Retrogore. And I don't have much of a blurb off the top of my head to say his notes. I think both songs, the song Bathos itself and Fallacious Crescendo, they're both excellent additions to the catalog, as it just feels like this EP was just designed to affirm that. And it's the Bathos is the only Aborted song that I can say has like a traditional breakdown, but even that feels like it's a stretch.
Yeah, basically with Bathos, if you like Retrogore, this is like the cherry on top.
Pretty much. I mean, even these songs are so good on certain deluxe editions of the next record, they just end up as bonus tracks anyways, which I wish I had my box set for Retrogore, my pre-order from like almost 10 years ago at this rate, to show Mike, because like I even got a physical copy of the Termination Redux EP on CD, but I also do have the vinyl to show off as well, with this awesome monster with a machete. And even the opening track of Termination Redux is a Event Horizon reference, Liberate Me Ex Infernus.
Nice.
I guess enough with the dawdling, and I guess we might as well just hop into the next record, Terror Vision, which similarly with Archaic Abattoir, I feel like it was always going to be a tough contest following up Retrogore.
Yeah. And Terror Vision is very good. Again, it's part of that like 10 plus year run of excellence. It's only slightly below Retrogore for me.
For me, it's the opposite of what happened with Archaic Abattoir. It feels like they took what made Retrogore great, but just did what worked so well again. Not to just make it sound super derivative, because it's not. There's still plenty of horror references, like Farewell to the Flesh is a Candyman reference. There's the title track, which is a reference to a more obscure 80s horror movie. Well, not obscure, but you get what I mean. There's also a reference to Dario Argento's Deep Red. They're great musicianship as usual. Ken is just annihilating the drum kit. The songs are ridiculously catchy. There's not really much I can't say that's all that different from Retrogore, but I just personally prefer Retrogore. As great as Terror Vision is, and there's some great guests like Seth from Septic Flesh is on the very opening track. Then there's again Julian from Benighted always making a cameo, Sebastian from Cytotoxins on A Horror d'Oeuvre Macabre. I can't really say that much else about Terror Vision. If you got anything, Mike?
No, I pretty much echo what you say. Like, Terror Vision is a good follow-up to what's already just a banger of a record.
Yeah, that's completely fair. For me, best songs, Farewell to the Flesh, Vespertine Decay, Visceral Despondency, Deep Red, because I'm always down for more Dario Argento references in anything. And then A Horror d'Oeuvre Macabre, it's a great grind song.
Yeah, hard to disagree there. Farewell to the Flesh might be like my single favorite on the record. And then just everything else is kind of second place.
Yeah, I can't blame you. And then just right as the pandemic started, they did drop a bit of a B-sides EP, which was Le Grand Masquerade, which is my bandana. It's a good EP of B-sides, mostly because of COVID. It really feels like it just got brushed under the rug because I feel like it was supposed to be promoted along with a tour with Napalm Death that they were going to do. But Gloom and the Art of Tribulation has a really awesome riff towards like the last third of the song, and there's a great solo on Funeral Malediction. But yeah, again, it just feels like a B-sides EP, and it does its job well.
Yeah, I think for me it was just a nice appetizer for the next record.
I don't even have a ton of notes for Mania Cult, and I don't want that to sound like a bad thing. It really feels like Sven wanted to have fun on an album, but it kind of felt like the real world was seeping into it a bit much, because like it feels like even darker than the last couple of records. Even when they're trying to have fun with having a mascot in Wayland Thurston on the album cover, you know, kind of having it be kind of a Lovecraftian kind of vibe to the music, it just kind of can't help but feel like this just is the soundtrack to the end of the world while the world already feels like it's ending.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of makes this album so, like, a fascinating listening. Because, like, it's both fun, but also dark at the same time, which is just kind of how we all felt around this time.
Yeah, I don't know how it managed to balance both tones as well as it did, but the fact that it even did in the first place kind of is amazing. I can't really say too much about the vocals and musicianship without just sounding super redundant, but it's just another top tier album to add to their back catalog. And, you know, I still actively listen to this thing to this day. I mean, in terms of best songs for me, when you have Joe Bad from Fit for an Autopsy on your first song on the album, you know you're in for a hell of a listen. Also, is it Mania Cult or Mania Cult? It sounds like he's saying Mania Cult on the song.
I pronounce it Mania Cult because I feel like it's a play on words for, you know, maniacal.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. But in interviews, I always hear it get called Mania Cult.
So I guess it's just one of those tomato kind of titles.
I feel like I have to do a Mr. Burns impression and go ketchup, 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 ketchup. But yeah, like, nonetheless, the stupid semantics about how to pronounce a song title. Mania Cult's an awesome track. Impetus Odi, Vulgar Quagmire. And just going back on how great the features are on this thing, Philip Danielson from Humanity's Last Breath is on Drag Me to Hell.
Yes.
Like, I got Mike hooked on Humanity's Last Breath, and if you're a deathcore fan, you need to be checking these guys out. Like, the amount of good musicianship in that band is kind of unreal, as is. The fact that they managed to make super slow songs not boring is amazing.
Yeah, that takes a lot of skill, which is something that you definitely need to perfect, and I think they've done it.
Which, and also just bringing up the fact that they're referencing Drag Me to Hell and not just Evil Dead just shows some balls on Sven's part in terms of like referencing horror movies in the lyrics.
He's a Raimi head.
Exactly. And then we have to include this just because of the next record. I have no idea how to pronounce the first part of it, but The Folly of Gods with Ben Dur from Shadow of Intent is an amazing way to close out this record. I don't think it nearly hits as well as Cenobites does, but this is a great way to close out a dark, aborted record.
It is. And yeah, like you said, it is kind of cool how this album ends with that feature and the next one begins. So do you want to jump right in?
Before we do though, we do have to mention a bit of the label change, because the first thing that dropped, because they changed from Century Media, which surprised me that they did, over to Nuclear Blast Records, which I'm not going to complain. I love both labels, don't get me wrong, but it was kind of surprising that things were going as well in terms of like consistently good albums, great promotion, great pressings on vinyl and everything for each record, that they change over to Nuclear Blast. I just kind of feel like, did something go on over there? But at the same time, we ended up getting, as a result, a bit of a teaser for what's to come, which was, of course, Infinite Terror. That was a standalone single that was released about 2 years ago. And much like the Termination Redux EP, this was a teaser of what was to come. For one thing, you have lyrics based on Event Horizon, which is one of the most underrated horror movies of the 90s. So like, you automatically have me hooked with that. But then the chorus on this thing just hit me differently than any aborted chorus ever has. And it's definitely something I've screamed out loud at the gym. I can't not help but sing along to that out loud. Like, this is just a case of a band knowing how to play to their strengths, modernizing their sound without just sounding trendy, and just writing a strong ass 4 minute death metal tune.
Yeah. Infinite Terror is awesome for all the reasons that you just said. And yeah, it's like, again, I wrote in my notes that Aborted is one of those bands that isn't afraid to experiment and upgrade their sound while still remaining exactly who they are.
Oh, 100%. So I guess with that in mind, we've had a week at the time of this recording to digest Vault of Horrors, which has this amazing artwork, which I wish I could show you the vinyl and everything, because apparently right in the TV that I'm showing Mike on screen that nobody else can see, like right there are some VHS tapes. On the vinyl, you can see clearly what each movie is, and one of them's Terrifier.
Of course it is.
I just love that. So the main hook that I'm sure everybody's already aware of is each song has its own individual guest vocalist from a different band. And one of the things that I love about this record in particular, it feels like Aborted just decided to write a covers album of each band they decided to collaborate with.
This might be a really dated reference, but this album is basically the death metal version of Santana's Supernatural.
I don't blame you for thinking that, but I just feel like that idea is just better executed here, you know, just to avoid any Nickelback type collaborations. Although it wouldn't surprise me if what's Chad's brother's name again that's on bass? Mike Kroger. That's who it is. It wouldn't surprise, given that he already does dig metal. One part of me wouldn't be surprised that he likes Aborted, because I was surprised he likes Lamb of God. But, you know, like if he got into Aborted, I genuinely would be surprised. But I don't blame you for making that comparison. And the other hook with this album is that each song is based off of its own individual horror movie, which that's why he brought up Ben from Shadow of Intent being on Dreadbringer, which is about John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yes. Which I actually just saw for the first time in theaters a couple years ago. Definitely a great experience.
Which one part of me hopes John Carpenter hears this album and is like, you know what? I'm going to tour behind my own music again with my sons, but Aborted have to open for me.
That needs to happen. And then also Cannibal Corpse and Aborted need to co-headline a tour.
Exactly. We will even tag Cannibal Corpse and Aborted in our social media posts just to be like, just tour together, guys. But regardless, so Dreadbringer, it's a phenomenal fucking way to open up a record. Just so much aggression, but tons of melody, even like even the section that, you know, we obviously call it a breakdown. It's not a deathcore breakdown by any means. And Ben's feature on this thing just benefits the track.
Yeah, he brings a lot of force in the vocals, and even like at the very start, that like that synth opening does a nice job of like settling you into the record.
Oh, I had to make sure that was part of my bench press time at the gym today whenever I blasted that song. So like it's kind of just perfect for that, and timing it with each, you know, each rep and just doing like 20 sets of it. It was just kind of unreal to hit the gym to that. And then also having the balls to include for another Carpenter reference, having Brotherhood of Sleep be a reference to Prince of Darkness is just a huge Carpenter nerd in me, touching the huge Carpenter nerd in me moment. Because like, I seriously think everybody needs to see Prince of Darkness. Have you seen it, Mike?
I actually haven't.
I'm weaseling you into this once we're done recording to go watch it, because it's awesome. Anything that has Alice Cooper as the villain in it, you have to watch it. But no, like even including Johnny from Carcosa on it, like he, I don't want to say that it has a lot of deathcore breakdowns, but it's like you can't deny that there are genuinely like deathcore breakdowns on this. But it, again, it feels like both bands are coming together to form like the best chocolate peanut butter thing you've ever eaten.
You mentioned this off air, but something that I really like about this record is how like each band, like this isn't just like Aborted and a bunch of random guest vocalists. It's like they do a good job of like combining the styles of each band. And I think the best first impression was the first single, Death Cult, which featured the guys from Despise Icon.
It was actually only Alex Arian from Despise Icon. A lot of people for some reason keep saying that Steve makes a guest appearance. It's just Alex, guys.
Still, like, I don't think you get a better first impression of this record than having that blast on Liquid Metal.
I didn't say this before we started recording because I just wanted to see your reaction. So every Friday I go to the gym and I always just pick out whichever band I happen to be in the mood for. And I kind of have that start like a theme throughout my entire weekend when I'm in the gym. So I had a sore arm last week. So last night it was Psilosis. Today, because we were recording, ended up being Aborted. So I was doing my pull-ups and I decided to put on Death Cult. And nice. I actually screamed out loud Alex's verse the entire time, like just that entire last like 40 seconds of the song, saying this is Leatherface's realm, this is the Death Cult. I just screamed that out loud, and then as soon as I finished my 20, I just got off that thing and I was like, fuck yeah, out loud. That just put me in the best possible mood.
So in other words, this album passes the gym test.
100%, 10 out of 10, A++. It gets extra credit. My other note really for Death Cult, honestly, it's still better than the entirety of that Netflix Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie from 2 years ago. What it manages to accomplish in 3 minutes does better than an hour and a half movie. That's kind of pathetic. But like other tracks that I really want to highlight off of this thing, honestly, for me, Hellbound with Matt Bagacci from Cryptopsy. Again, their Hellraiser worship just cranked up to 11 on this song. This is another phenomenal fucking track where it feels like the intensity is just there. It feels very, a lot of it feels like it could be done on a Cryptopsy record.
And speaking of the Carpenter love, I have to shout out The Shape of Hate featuring Oliver Ray Alaron.
From Archspire, no less. Check them out if you haven't yet. Their last album, Bleed the Future, was fantastic. You already have me hooked with a Michael Meyer. They had a Michael Meyer shirt come out like a few months ago on indie merch in time for Halloween. The fact that you have a Halloween themed song on your record already has me hooked. And like, even just getting down to some of the lyrics that are on this thing, like including the lyric "In Carpenter's Mind, Horror is Born, Slasher Symphony Forever Adorned." Your album already just hits like album of the year territory for me, which it's going to be tough between this Job for a Cowboy and the new Judas Priest for me.
Yeah. And we'll have that conversation another time. But like, so far, the first quarter of 2024 has delivered a pretty awesome trifecta of awesome.
Any other songs you want to bring up, though? Because I feel like Natrum Demonto, which I even showed you some of the liner notes like sometime last week, which has an Evil Dead Rise reference in there, which like, man.
Other tracks. I like Condemned to Rot featuring Francesco Paoli. And the closer is actually really good. Malevolent Haze.
With Ricky Hoover from Of Sulfur, which I don't want to say it's an out of the blue choice, because I mean, they did do the Lorna Shore tour a couple of years ago together. My main note that I took down to kind of give a bit of a cop out was still better than that craptastic ending to The Mist. Yeah, guys, still almost 20 years on, I don't care if people are trying to make the argument that it's a good ending. The ending to The Mist fucking sucks. It's a cop-out ending. It's bullshit to me. But no, the song itself is an amazing way to close out the record, to be honest. I mean, just the fact that it managed to take what works in an Of Sulfur track, but reverts back halfway through after that breakdown section. It goes into an atmospheric part and then the guitar solo, and then just pulverizes you for the last minute or so. It's amazing.
I only have one nitpick about this record.
And I know where you're going with this, and I agree.
Insect Politics is a great song. I just wish it was longer than a minute 44 seconds.
I wish it was longer and had more of Jason from Ingested on it. Like, his parts just fly by so quick. It's really the closest thing this record gets to a grind song, which it accomplishes that in spades. But come on, guys, you wasted a Jason Evans feature on your record.
And again, if that's our only nitpick, then you know we've got a classic.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if you want more Jason Evans and Aborted, Sven actually does a feature on From Hollow Words from the last Ingested record. So if you want that, go check that song out. It kicks ass. It's in heavy rotation for me in the gym.
So as we wind this episode down, this is going to be a tough question, but it is sort of the last step in our process. How would you rank Aborted's discography? Or at the very least, what would be your top five records?
I actually did have them ranked and ready to go kind of as I was listening to each album. So it could very well change. I'm not including EPs or System Divide or Coffin Theater or Fetal Blood Eagle. But I'm going to say my favorite's going to be Retrogore, 100%. Probably Global Flatline next, Vault of Horrors, Mania Cult, Necrotic Manifesto, Terror Vision. I am bummed I am putting Gormageddon this low, but I guess this is just the way the cookie crumbles. Just these recent runs of albums have been that good. Engineering the Dead, Archaic Abattoir, Slaughter and Apparatus, Purity of Perversion, and then last, Strychnine.
Honestly, I think that might be almost exactly my list. I may have moved Gormageddon up a few spots, but what's most important is I have like the run from 2012 onward pretty much in the top five.
Yeah, 100%. And just, I guess, to kind of help things wind down towards the end of this. I can't really summarize why I think this band is as excellent as they are. Their evolution has just been so strong, building on an already strong foundation of excellent records. Sven selecting some really strong musicians for basically each album. If there's a lineup change, writing great songs that have amazing hooks and melodies, but being the most aggressive thing that you've ever heard. It's a major accomplishment. I really hope the band figure out how to top Vault of Horrors in a few years, because them along with Decapitated, Cannibal Corpse, Dying Fetus, Alluvial, because, well, the Faceless basically doesn't exist anymore. Like, Aborted belong in the conversation for like top tier death metal.
The fact that they aren't already is just kind of baffling to me, because when I think of brutal death metal, this is that band. They just know exactly how to just melt your face off with just the most intense speed and grooves. And yet it never feels dissonant when they combine those two elements. And now, if you want to support this band, Nick, where would you suggest people go to buy records or merch or any of that?
So, Aborted's albums are available from most of the major online distros. So, if you want to get stuff from Amazon, they exist, but it's mostly a lot of third-party sellers. So, you are going to pay for stuff like delivery fees and everything. But you can also check Indie Merch. You can check Century Media, in this case, because Vault of Horrors is on Nuclear Blast. You can pick up the CD and vinyl. My vinyl copy is late. Fuck you very much, Bezos. Pay people a living wage, you bastard. So merch is best available, though, through Indie Merch. Again, this isn't sponsored, just to make it abundantly clear, but even if we were sponsored, like, it'd be cool if Indie Merch gave us some free shit, because I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
But basically, that's how I got my Terrifier shirt and my Halloween shirt. They do active restocks and like various new designs frequently. Like, there was even one for like Sharknado. There was one for Dark Souls even, which I would have really loved to have gotten the Dark Souls one. But you can actually catch Aborted on tour this spring with Archspire, Carcosa, and Alluvial. I do like Archspire a lot, but with all due respect, guys, this is an Aborted show for me. I haven't seen them live ever. Like, me and Mike have said, we both haven't seen them, but I needed to get tickets to this right as they went on sale.
Yeah. When you have the opportunity, you have to go.
Yeah. Well, I've been telling this to a lot of people lately. Like, if as soon as your favorite bands announce a tour, go see them, because you don't know when you're going to be able to. You don't know if you're going to be able to see them in a few years. So go see this, especially because it's a fucking hell of a lineup, just because the last Archspire record, like I said, was so good. This newest Aborted album is as good as it is. I hope that Ollie hops on stage for Shape of Hate with the band. I hope that Johnny hops on stage for Brotherhood of Sleep even, but like, even Alluvial, they just put out an EP earlier in January that was amazing. So go check this tour out. And I guess that concludes another why we love this band.
Yep. Next time, I believe we're getting back on the dirt.
Yep, exactly. Theater of Pain, it'll be coming next. No dates guaranteed just yet, but it will be coming out sooner rather than later.
But until then, Nick, where can everyone find you online?
Super Saiyan Death Metal God on Instagram. That is where I basically exist on social media, but it's where I post mostly album covers, movies I'm watching, video games I'm playing, or just my own general thoughts on anything. Yeah, just go binge like my posts and, you know, help me combat the algorithm. My page is shockingly doing super well lately, doing like almost sometimes 200 to 300 likes a post lately. So I don't know how, but if you want to, go binge like my page. I'd appreciate it.
Indeed. And you guys can find me on various social media sites at CaptainK42. You can check on my quick thoughts on letterboxd.com/CoachK42. And you can follow Renegade Pop Culture on Facebook and that place at Ren Pop Culture. You can also find us on YouTube, on Podchaser. Consider supporting our Patreon at patreon.com/renegadepopculture. Listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. And last but not least, everything can be found at renegadepopculture.com. Need an escape? So do we. That'll do it for this episode of Renegade Jukebox. We will catch you guys later. Nick?
This mother faces round. This is the death cult. But before travesty, death cult, the star is family.